Uno, two, tres.
Boom. Three-fourths human with
Kevin Cat
and Sugo.
And AI. AI.
Hey, we have a guest for episode 101. What are the chances?
Why does Bean only own one t-shirt? What's the deal? By the way, Kevin, I wore this specifically for you. I thought you'd have something to say.
Oh my God.
It's Meredith.
Are you kidding me?
It's Taylor Swift's cat, Meredith. I wore this just for you. I know what a fan you are of A, Taylor Swift, and B, Meredith.
I was just loving the purple myself. It's like some of my favorite weed I've ever gotten, some of that color.
I was surprised by the tie-dye, to be honest.
I will tell you that you guys are going to make fun of me, but this is serious. I love Tay-Tay, as you know, and I am terrified that one of these days Meredith is going to die because she has had that cat for 15 years.
Wow.
So every morning I wake up and I light a candle and I say a prayer. Please don't let the Lord take Meredith today. And please let Willie Nelson be safe. Those are the two things that I say every morning when I start my day, because those are the two people that I'm most worried about dying.
I don't have a list of people that I'm worried about dying.
That's for sure. You could give a shit.
I also have an Olivia Benson t-shirt too, by the way. This isn't the only Taylor Swift cat shirt I have.
Of course.
Olivia Benson as well. But anyway, I wanted to point that out for you, Kevin.
It's a great shirt.
A lot of people are asking this particular question, and I think it's kind of interesting. Bean, you've done so many things in radio. How many years have you been in radio now? Do you know offhand?
Well, I started in college radio in 1977, so I don't know what that means. It's 49 years, I want to say. University of Maryland, go Terrapins, the Mighty Terps, right? You know how turtles are terrifying to their opponents. Yes, I started in college radio and then worked for 12 or 13 years in the Baltimore, Washington, Northern Virginia, Annapolis, Maryland area before I went west to Phoenix and then California. But I am still on the radio today, by the way. I do regular fill-ins at a radio station in London. It's called Countryline Radio. And that may surprise a lot of people to hear that I'm a DJ on a country music radio station, but I have a lifelong love of country. It's my dad's favorite music. Wow. I kind of grew up with it, and it's fun. It's a lot of fun. It's obviously nothing like doing a morning show on a rock station, as Kevin and I did together for so many years, but I'm able to kind of get those yah-yahs out with the podcast. So I'm kind of able to do the music DJing thing over here, but then still have fun conversations with people on the show.
So you were also music director. You were music director at KZZP when we were there, mm-hmm. and on the air doing mornings and now the podcast. So the question generally is, do you have a favorite of all of those? One that really is, you just feel like you're really in the groove.
I don't know. What do you guys think? I mean, there's advantages and disadvantages to all of them, I think. There's a lot to be said for the freedom that comes with doing a podcast. You guys can do and talk about whatever you want, have anybody you want on doing as often or as little as you want, make them run as long as you want. I mean, you got all the control, and I think there's something to be said for that. But also, there's something to be said for a much wider audience when you're on the radio, and there is a thrill still in being live too. And Kevin, yes. You know that now from doing afternoons again, is being live does feel just, you're a little more juiced than you are. Yep. Even if you're live to tape, it does feel a little bit different. Kat, are you ever live on SiriusXM, or is that always voice track?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, you are live sometimes.
I like to do it a lot when I have a guest in the studio and we can, you know, have people call in and stuff like that. The live thing to me is, again, a different animal, like you said, and because there's no do-over, you know, there's no, like, you can't do anything over. You have to keep rolling, and it just goes, whatever mistakes you've made, you just have to keep going. And I love that. I love that. It keeps you on the edge of your seat.
Some of my favorite stuff on SiriusXM was Kat inviting bands and people into her house and just doing this insane live.
Oh, those were cool. That was a great series. I loved that,
I need
too.
To do more of those. Well, when I get another house,
yes. And,
you know, so there's that. But yeah, that was, I wanted to capture the chaos of a live house party. And I think we did. It was so fun to take live calls in my living room.
It was fun.
Gavin Rosdale and Noodles and all those bands were in my house. Like, it was amazing.
I mean, the only reason you started doing that series was to figure out a way to get Brandon Boyd to your house. Let's be honest. Right?
It. I think this is a good time to talk about your podcast with Allie. Can we, like, get down that road? No?
Well, I will say just as a PS to what you were saying about the live, I agree with you. There's something special about live, but I also am grateful doing this podcast live to tape that I have the ability to edit it and tighten it up and make it better, because I'm never satisfied with my work on the show. I find myself stuttering, or there'll be an or something like that, and I'll be like, if you have the opportunity, I know you guys don't edit at all and that shows, but if you have the opportunity to clean it up and make it a smoother listening experience for the listeners, I am grateful that I have the opportunity to do that. I am grateful that I have the opportunity to do that. I am grateful that I have the opportunity to do that. But yeah, Allie and I have been doing the show since October of 2020. Cup of tea in the chat. Thank you. It's also on Patreon, like you guys. And we are over 700 episodes. We do it 3 times a week. And
amazing.
It has been a real community builder. That's what's great about it. And you guys have experienced this as well. Just like in radio, you build a community. You're like people. And that has been literally the most exciting and rewarding part of the entire experience is our listeners, they're called teabaggers, I know, is that they love each other and they support each other, and so many of them get together and have meetups and go to shows together and go to Kings games together, or whatever it is, and it's just so fun. They have made so many friends in real life as a result of having the one thing in common of listening to our show, and that really is the coolest thing about the whole thing. And they're great. We get such great feedback from them. They're very interactive. We get tons of calls every week, tons of comments, and I just love that it's interactive. That's what makes it fun, I think.
Well, there are so many different podcasts that they do have to choose to spend time with you if they like you, and then they are very interactive. It's great.
Yes, and you have to pay for our podcast, too. So it's a miracle to me that with all the free content that's out there, it's a miracle to me that anybody is going to put down their $5 a month or whatever it is, and I'm eternally grateful for that. It's very special.
We speaking of phoning in, we have someone that called in. Hey, Corny, can you provide the – you know what? Bean, you hate Corny, so why don't you give the phone number? You've heard the podcast a number of times.
I have no idea what the phone number is.
I only know because it's written on here. That's the only
It's 818. I know that. And I think it has a 4 in it, and it has a 0 in it, but that's about all I got for you.
818-40, and they'll get right through to us. Corny, what's the phone number?
It's 818-510-0042. You lot should know it by now. Honestly, if anyone's still not memorized it, I'm losing hope in the future of humanity, AI included.
Oh my gosh.
Says the guy that forgets it.
Every episode, you practically forget the phone number. You're throwing shade at us? Wow.
I think it's fair. All right. So anyway, someone did call that and left this message for Bean.
Hey, guys. Kevin Sluggo and Kat. This is Steve. I got a bat signal from Sluggo about calling and leaving a message for Bean. When you kind of walked away from radio, did you ever imagine that you would end up in podcasting? And then now that you're in podcasting, you know, I want to know what your feeling is about that versus when you were on the radio. I got to think quality of life is a lot better. I don't know if income is good, but anyway, I just want to hear what your take is on that medium. I think you've gotten a lot closer with your fans. I know I've been a lot closer with you. I never had contact with you on the radio. But anyway, just that's my question. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. That question took way longer to ask than it needed to. I did not expect to be podcasting at all when I left the radio, honestly. And I'm sure Kevin felt the same way when he was fired over the phone during the pandemic, which is I'm cool to be done with radio for a while. I don't care if I'm behind a microphone for a long time because I've done it plenty. That's how I felt when I retired. Although I was interested in trying to get it into something in Britain. I was interested in trying to break in on the radio in the UK. Kind of a dream of mine. Hasn't gone well for a number of reasons. I'm an old white guy with a bad accent. So I got a lot of hurdles.
American.
They don't like our accent like we like this.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
And I don't blame them. I'm with them.
And the industry here has contracted a great deal, just as it has in America and around the world. So there are a lot fewer jobs than there would have ordinarily been. So anyway, haven't done well in that respect. But I understood that that was a possibility, that it wasn't going to work out for me. I never thought I would be podcasting. It was honestly because Allie asked, because after you guys all lost your job and she was eager to do something again, she suggested it. And it sounded like fun. And I thought, you know what? It sounds like fun. I don't have to commit to this forever. I'll just do it and see if I like it. And it would be fun. And frankly, and I believe I probably told you this last time we were on, because this always comes up. A lot of it had to do with Mrs. Baxter, who frankly was tired of hearing me talk around the house. Mm-hmm. She's like, you've got to find somebody else to talk to. I cannot be the only person that has to hear your bullshit all the time. So she urged me to do it. And she also said, I think Allie would be a fantastic partner for you, and you're going to regret it if you don't do it, because somebody else is going to snap her up and she's not going to be available, and then you're going to be sad because you're going to change your mind. So I kind of took advice from my work wife and my real wife and decided to go for it. In a million years, I never, ever, ever expected I would still be doing it this long. The joke was at the beginning of the show that this was going to last 10 episodes, and then I used to joke about, well, when we get to 100, we'll call it. So that was years ago, and we're still going strong, and it's still super, super fun, you guys. That's the, like Sluggo said in the last episode, if you're still really enjoying it and you can squeeze in the time, why not keep doing it, right?
So Steve also mentioned the quality of life. So you used to, what time did you get up in the morning, and is all of that ancient history for you now?
Not really, because I'm an early bird anyway. I never really had any problem with the schedule, as my people say. I still am up around 5:30 every morning, not as early as we used to when we used to commute into K-Rock, but I get up around 5:30 a.m. That's kind of my normal time to get up anyway. So I am usually in bed by around 9 or so and get up around 5:30. That works for my body. So quality of life is fine. But remember, you know, I'm working from home now doing the podcast, but I was an early adopter of working from home. A lot of people discovered that during the pandemic. I've been working from home since 1999, you guys.
Yes,
so
you have.
My quality of life in terms of whether I'm doing the radio show or the podcast has always been kind of about the same, because I've always been able to work from home and mostly make my own hours. But I'll tell you something, and I got to echo what Ralph Garman said when he appeared recently, is when you go out on your own, like in my case with just Allie and me as the only two employees for Cup of Tea and a Chat, you realize you're wearing 10 different hats. And boy, do we miss the support staff that we used to have working on a big time morning show, where you have a producer and you have somebody to do paperwork and you have somebody to do the busy work and you have somebody to make the calls and blah, blah, blah. We don't have any of that anymore. So honestly, there are a lot of days that I think I am working every bit as hard as the years that we were putting the morning show on just to do this dinky little podcast, because you're doing everything.
It is a lot of work, and that is surprising. Do you miss the camaraderie? I do. I miss the camaraderie.
Absolutely.
Our group of people.
100%. That's the thing I miss more than anything in the world, is how fun and funny it was in that room. We were doing an entirely different show off the air than the show that the listeners heard on the air every day. And it was a much better show, in my opinion. A much funnier show. And we made, you know, partly because, you know, being in the trenches with people for so long and so close, we made such good friends with people like Chip, for instance, right? That we're still all in touch with and still love and still miss. Yep. Those sorts of people that you spent all of that time with. And it was so fun to get to hang out with them every day. And by the way, have you guys ever had Frank Murphy on as a guest?
We have not.
Why not?
We should.
Great question.
Because the guy who books shit is horrible. He's such a twat. I hate that guy.
He's fired.
Actually, I have something I want to tell you about Frank, but I'm not allowed to bring his name up without playing his theme song.
Frank Murphy! Frank Murphy! Frank Murphy! Frank Murphy!
Kevin, you remember the great Wesley Willis at K-Rock?
I sure do. He was kind of a homeless guy at first, right?
Do you remember Wesley Willis, Kat?
No. Why does it sounds familiar, though?
He may have been homeless at some point, Kevin. I think you're right. He was this autistic artist. And by artist, I mean he was one of those guys that you read about who could draw from memory the Chicago skyline in incredible detail.
Wow.
He would look at it, and then he would go over here and draw it. Every window accurate. He was an amazing artist. But he also had this little Casio keyboard, and he used to make up these songs. I think his most famous one was called Rock and Roll McDonald's. And most of his songs had that exact same melody. He just churned out dozens and dozens and dozens of them. He had this real cult following. They even made a documentary about him. Sadly, he's passed away. He's no longer with us. He had a huge bump in the middle of his forehead because one of the things that he used to do when he kind of had episodes was just smash his head against doors or sometimes people. And he was a very, very big guy. And he was intimidating. He's a sweetheart, but he was intimidating. And you were a little bit on the knife's edge because you weren't sure what Wesley you're going to get that day. So the memory that I have, Kevin, and please interrupt and correct me if I'm wrong on this, is that we had Natalie Merchant on the mm-hmm. show as a guest from 10,000 Maniacs. So she's the guest at like in the 7 o'clock hour. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, Wesley Willis was coming in.
She's very small.
She's tiny.
A tiny lady. Yes.
Yes.
Wesley Willis is so excited that Natalie Merchant is there that he really wants to meet her. And he doesn't open the door, but he's banging on the door. He's like, Natalie Merchant.
Oh my God.
Natalie. And she is like cowering. She's so worried. And her people, of course, there's on the other side of the glass in the producer studio. And they're like, oh my God, we got to get her out of here. It was fine. Nothing happened.
That was when you let her down by the breacher's buoy, like in Towering Inferno, right? Down to the other building.
That was my favorite Wesley moment, though. He All was right. so great. Okay, so wait. So let me tell you why I brought up Frank Murphy.
Okay.
Like Kevin, Frank claims to be writing a book about his years at K-Rock. And he apparently is stuck in the same ditch that you're stuck in. I'm here today to suggest you give him your book and he finishes it for you. He
That's
gives you
smart.
His book.
Oh,
and
you Chris Cross.
Because what you need is some sort
Strangers
of, you need
on
an editor.
Train.
You need an
yeah.
editor. You need some sort of outside perspective. Both of you guys are on the inside. Both of you guys know exactly what you're talking about. You live through a lot of the same experiences. You two could help each other finish this GD book that you keep bragging
yes.
about.
Yes.
I have called Frank probably 15 times just to go, hey, what was the, did you,
yeah.
you remember
yeah.
when?
Yeah. He's a phenomenal resource. He was our producer yeah. for many, many years. And I think, I can't speak for Frank, but I'm sure he would be delighted to come on. I'm sure he'd have a lot of fun stories
and
to Bean, tell
I think you know
years.
Kevin as well as I do. We've all worked together the same amount of time, basically. Wouldn't you say that Kevin right now to this great suggestion has completely just thrown it out the window? He's not.
What are we no, talking about?
Switching you taking Frank's book and
I don't think he'll do that because I think Kevin wants to be responsible for his own words. But I do think that I hope this leads to booking
yes.
Frank as a guest
no.
because I think your listeners would really, really enjoy it.
I love Kevin when he's like shuts down like that, though. I always appreciate that.
It's like, writing is hard, y'all. Like, it's hard to finish. It really is to get it to get something.
It is very difficult.
You have no deadline. You have no professional deadline. You have no money riding on it or contract or anything. To do something is so hard to push it over the finish line by yourself. And then you have to hire an editor and do a complete rewrite. Like, writing's not like making a song. You could write a hit in yeah. 5 minutes. It's a completely different animal.
And
so
Kat knows because she's done it. You've
yes.
actually done quite a bit of work.
Now. Still yes. have to push stuff over the finish line.
As far as Lightning, we have tried to have him on, but his hours don't work with ours. So we're trying
yeah.
to figure out
yeah.
when to make that
Maybe
happen.
We should just show up at his house.
There you go.
He is the memory of the early years of the Kevin and Bean Show.
That's
man.
True.
And he seems to remember everything too. He tells me stuff. What I don't talk to him very often, but when I do, he's always telling me stuff that is brand new to me that I don't remember anything about.
Can I tell you guys a story that is hilarious that is going to sound unrelated, but it's going to come full circle?
Please do.
Sure.
A couple
yeah.
years ago, I got a birthday gift from Jimmy Kimmel, and I didn't know what it was. It was a drawing. And I had no idea what it was. I was like, did his kid draw this? Or what could it possibly be? I don't even under. And for 2 years, I've wondered that.
2 years?
Yes. And I asked him a couple times and he wouldn't respond.
Oh, okay.
And you know what it is? It's a picture of the Chicago skyline.
No way.
Did you just now figure it out on this
until
episode?
This second. That
no
that's the gift he gave
way.
Me.
Oh my God.
How crazy is that?
You have a Wesley like, Willis original.
Yes. I was like,
holy
why would Jimmy
cow.
Send me what looks kind of like a child drawing, but
wow.
relatively accurate?
Huh.
Wow. That's what it is. That's such
Full
great news.
Full circle right here. Full circle delivering here on 3/4.
Wow.
Yeah.
I
wow.
can't believe it.
Now, speaking of artwork, and I wasn't planning on showing this to you guys, but it happens to be on my desk here. Donna found this in a book yesterday and walked into the office here and handed it to me. This is a photograph of us, Kevin and Bean, with Frank Murphy and Lightning and a couple of other people that you'll see in a moment backstage at one of the Acoustic Christmases. Hopefully I can just hold it up to the camera and you guys will be able to see it.
You can send us a copy and we'll put it in.
Can you see that?
Yes.
Yep.
So that is Kevin, Bean, Frank Murphy, Lightning, and Tony Bennett.
Yeah, Tony Bennett. Yeah.
And then as Santa Claus is Mark Davis, a.k.a. Richard Cheese, as Santa Claus in that photo. That was a great night, wasn't it?
That was a great night.
Having Tony Bennett at Acoustic Christmas, have him come out on stage.
I mean, how fitting. I mean, that couldn't be more perfect, Tony Bennett, at a Christmas show.
At a Christmas show.
At a rock
show.
Station. Yeah.
And for Mark Davis to, you know, his character Paul, the 55-year-old intern who, as Kevin and Sluggo know, was a real person that we knew, singing a duet on stage with Tony Bennett. It's just one of those like crazy, I'm sure Mark will never forget it. It's just one of those like crazy magic moments that you that is a result of being on the radio that you just can't imagine
and
ever really happened.
The horrifying thing is the 55-year-old intern was kind of the joke, and that's quite a bit younger than we are now.
Yes, exactly. He was just a young pup at 55. But anyway, I hadn't seen that photo in such a long time, but that was really, really fun to remember that night.
Speaking of such a long time, I did pull a clip of the Kevin and Bean show. I wanted to find one that was not a highlight, because those highlights have been around, but I just wanted to get a clip that was like a normal, everyday conversation.
Nice.
Because Bean and I talked so fast when we started, because neither of us were morning show guys. Listen to the rapid rate. It's about 1 minute long, and it's about being getting ripped off by our guy, Mark the Wiffle Boy, who used to go get food. So this is 1 minute of the Kevin and Bean show. And listen,
now, what year do you think this is? This is like
91.
Early? 91.
91. It's okay. June 91.
All right.
All right, here we go.
534, it's the world famous K-Rock. 106.7 KROQ. Well, my good friend Kevin, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Found out the scam of the century today.
Oh, yeah?
The scam of the century. How long I've been sending Mark out with $5 for this little meal that you see in front of me? This morning, I'm too hungry. I say, I'm not waiting for Mark to go out for food. I'm going to go by and get it myself.
Right.
This is the Del Taco. This is the double cheese and fries. I've been giving him $5 for how long? About 18 months.
Uh-huh.
$3.44. That's how much it costs.
I'm telling you, there's a special before 6 a.m. When 6 a.m. comes in, normal price again.
$3.
Before 6 a.m., you know, you get the special.
Here's what happens. We, for the longest time, have been sending Mark out during the show. We all get hungry. We send Mark out for food. He goes out for usually fast food,
which we appreciate. It's nice of him and all.
And, of course, we don't ever have exact change. And, of course, it all always takes however much we give them.
Yeah, exactly.
If we give them a 20, there is no change. And
it's
that's not
bucks,
a joke.
Yeah.
There's a lot of times.
So let's figure this. If we count up the amount of days in the last year and a half times his profit, which is $1.50 a day.
At least.
He owes me several thousand dollars.
At least. That's right.
He's paying for my vacation to Hawaii next month.
It doesn't surprise me. He's been ripping me off, man. You know what it's like? It's like your brother stabs you in the back. That's what it's like. So anyway, there's the scam of the century.
That was the last good example Bean gave.
I am famous for my bad examples.
Back in the day, everyone used to say they couldn't tell you apart on the radio. And having known you guys forever, I never understood that. Hearing this clip now, I totally get that.
Because both of our voices were so high back then.
Yeah, but it's exactly the same. The only thing I could pick out was Kevin's laugh. That was it. That's crazy.
How do you guys, that was very painful for me and I wish I hadn't heard it. How do you guys?
You didn't know you were sitting through an air check session today.
Yes, it's exactly what it felt like. How do you guys feel about listening to old air checks?
Hate it.
Is it as miserable for
worse
you as it is for me?
Yeah.
I'd rather go to the gynecologist than listen to myself.
I'd rather go to the gynecologist, and that's really painful for me. Because all I do is hear that, and I go, these guys are awful. And of course, we were awful for a very, very long time, but nobody needs to hear that again. Do you have a lot of tape on us, Kevin?
I can find it, yes. Yeah, I can find it. It's sort of all over.
I didn't know if you had boxes of tapes or
I
whatnot.
I do have boxes that are in a storage place somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have a few as well. And I feel like one day, if we are brave enough, we need to turn those over to Kevin Stockdale so that he can digitize them and start filling in some of the pre-97 or whatever time he started doing that site. He could put some of that old stuff up rather than just have the tape decay and it be lost to history.
Interesting. I like it.
Just a thought. Just a thought.
Make sure you start with that clip because it was such hilarious.
It was a terrible clip. Let's burn that clip.
No, that's good. That's funny.
I did bring one prop that I wanted to bring in to ask you guys if you remember, because this is one of my favorite. It's dumb that it's a favorite memory, but it's a great example, I think, of why our job was so fun, because we could read about something really dumb or interesting or surprising in the news and A, have a good time talking about it, but then B, pick up the phone and get the person on the phone to talk about it.
So great. That was.
Do you recognize and remember Witch rot. Yes, this is my witch rot t-shirt.
It does.
Right on the back. Stay heavy on the back. Stay Kat, what do you remember about witch rot?
Yeah.
I don't remember in particular. I don't remember all specifics. I feel like there was like an actual band called Witch Rot, and you guys stumble over an article and contacted.
I'll fill you in on it. Again, this is just a dumb thing. It's a type of thing that you might read and go, oh, that's humorous. But we had so much fun with it that we created Witch Rot Wednesdays, and we used to do a big production about it. So this was a band out of Canada that broke up, and the guy posted something on Facebook. The lead singer posted something on Facebook. I should have brought it up so I could read it to you verbatim, but it said something about it was mean. It said something about how, well, Witch Rot is breaking up because I just found out that my lead guitarist has been sleeping with my girlfriend, so there's that. Oh. And then he added, and our drummer died.
Oh,
as an aside,
that was the part that made it go viral. That everybody was like, "That's kind of a big aside." His and our drummer died.
Oh, and also that guy croaked.
By the way,
what the hell? Right? We're like, that is such a surprise. So of course we have the producer light him up, and we get him on, and he tells us how it's the best thing that's ever happened to Witch Rot. He doesn't miss that girlfriend at all because now everybody in the world knows who they are.
Or that stupid drummer. Who cares?
Right? And all their stuff starts streaming again and everything. They were a real hard rock band.
They weren't good.
They weren't for everybody, that's for sure. But like I say, that's just an example of something that just delighted us, and we got so much mileage. That was what was fun, is you get a whole bunch of mileage out of it and became a big inside joke with the audience, and I really enjoyed stuff like that. I miss stuff like that.
Mileage is a weird thing, and is a very radio thing, I think. I mean, I suppose, like, actual talk shows probably roll along with that as well. But in radio, if you can find something that you can keep squeezing out and that listeners will respond to and chime in.
Well, that's the goal. You're trying to be sticky. Exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah. Bean, you had said you
I don't
done,
like the word sticky.
It's like moist.
He
right,
said Kevin? Moist earlier. Like, come on, Kevin.
So, Bean, you mentioned you've done 700 episodes thereabouts and more, a cup of tea and a chat. So tell us, since we're at episode 101 here today, what are we doing wrong? What do you think is wrong with the, besides corny, of course, 3/4 Human Podcast?
Corny is my only note. You gotta ditch the AI. Look, it was a hook to get people in the door. Oh, this is something new and different. I haven't seen this before. I'll try it. Well, it sucks. So get rid of corny. You guys are great. Are you surprised that you are ending up doing so much K-Rock stuff? Because that's not what it was like for most of the early episodes. Now
no, that's
it
true.
Seems like it's mostly a This Week in K-Rock. Where
I think
is that the response you're getting from the audience is leading you in that direction to do more and more of that?
A lot of. I think it was when Kat joined us, though, in particular. We just suddenly had, like, this day in K-Rock history, and, because we all share that background.
Look, I was like, we have so much to mine at this in our memories. And you talked about it earlier, the show behind the show. The audience has no idea what was going on in some of the biggest disasters and the biggest successes. Yeah. There's none of that. And that to me has always been part of the fascination and love of being in this business, was all the stuff that we did behind the scenes to pull things off. And so the idea is to bring in those people that loved listening to K-Rock in a time period and show them what was going on behind the curtain. Because for a long time, we weren't allowed to do that.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
And I'm sure they appreciate hearing those stories, too. So they were able to get Kevin to come back. They were able to get Sluggo to come back. Kat, are they knocking on your door? When are you going back?
Come on back, kitten. I would love to have you in the building. That would be so awesome. It's so nice.
You never say never at all. You know, everything's cool. I mean, you just can't. You don't know what's going to happen the next from day to day. So
you'll be happy to know that nobody has called me still. I just want you to know, 6 years later, not a single. Well, that's not bad. I got one call.
I haven't got a call either, man. So it's
I got like one call one day to come on when you did the Jed tribute show. And I appreciated that very much. But that was it. And
me
all
too.
This time, you know, I've talked about this on my show. But when I left K-Rock, I wasn't fired, by the way. I left on my own volition. And when I left,
I wasn't fired.
And when I left, I envisioned that I would be like announcer emeritus. Like every once in a while, they would call and go, hey, come sit in. That'd or come do a countdown or come do a Christmas Eve show.
I bet Weatherby would be on board with that. No. And I just doubt clearly not.
Clearly not.
I don't think he remembers Bean.
You know what, Bean? I would like to say, I quit as well. I wasn't fired.
Yes,
and
that's right.
I quit as well. So look at me. I'm the second person on this podcast to quit. Didn't get fired.
I think if you got fired is when you why you got the call back.
Maybe that's
we
it.
We were like, see ya. And they're like, yeah, well, you don't. Well, we're not going to call you again.
Right. But I look at it like this. Like when you watch Saturday Night Live and then all of a sudden out of nowhere, Dana Carvey is in a sketch because he's an alumnus. Right.
Yes.
That's what I always thought it would be with K-Rock. But apparently I am like one of those Stalinist photographs where they've just erased me out of the history of the station. Like I don't exist anymore. It's just weird. I would probably say no if they
right.
did call.
See, this is the main reason I haven't pushed super hard for it, because I have tried to get you on certain things and you're like, yeah. No, I don't want to do that. Fuck
Kevin, you know I like to be invited. That's my whole thing.
It's
right?
Yeah, one of the weirdest things in the world.
It's very odd.
Bean gets his feelings hurt for real if he's not invited, but he will say no.
It's like the beginning of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Why don't you invite us to stick around?
Yes, exactly. Sometimes people get married and they don't invite me to the wedding. I am furious, but I'm telling you now, I would never go to any of those weddings. But come on, hook a brother up. Send me an invitation, guys.
You can't imagine the fight that I had with Maren about not inviting you. I was like, let's not invite him. He'll get his feelings hurt. It'll be great.
You know how mad I would be, Kevin.
She goes, no, I can't do that to Bean. I'm like, yes, we can. This is a good bit.
But having said all of that, I was delighted to accept this invitation. I really appreciate you guys having me on for your very special 101.
It's so good to see you and talk to you.
It's been really, really fun. So let's do it again in like another 1,000 episodes.
Oh, my God.
Cornelius, can you recap this episode with all specifics and thank the people for watching and listening?
Sorry, Bean.
You could edit this part out, you know. Tighten it up.
No, keep it. Keep it.
No reason you can't cut this part out.
Just keep it.
Now I have to keep it. Don't need all the silence, is what I'm saying. It's an audio medium.
Do you think he fell asleep?
Corny, can you recap the show, please?
Fucking AI.
You guys, what?
Three-fourths human with Ken and Sluggo and AI.